costume.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have much additional to say in addition to what George West has said in his memo that you have before you. The university does agree with this intent of this bill, as George West indicated, and thinks it would be a definite advantage to students graduating from rural high schools. There are some fiscal problems, especially starting up this scholarship, which Dr. West indicates down in item 5. And, of course, the extrapolation of his figures is based upon little or no dropout. So we recognize there will be some dropout in the program, and the cost for ensuing years will not be 100% extrapolation of the total students that could be awarded scholarships each year. But there is especially getting started in this program, definitely a fiscal problem for the university to absorb the entire amount.
Why should the Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau kids not be eligible?
Now, I would assume that you would need to ask the sponsors of the bill for that. I would assume that they are thinking that the ones from Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks, having a university in their backyard, let's say, already have ample opportunity to attend a university, and this wants to emphasize those who are outside the metropolitan area. The university has no comment regarding that particular exclusion.
Subject. I don't believe that that there's any problem either in eliminating that part. But other than Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau, it's the scholarships for Alaska Natives and Alaska Natives statewide. I don't think you'd have a problem with that either. Although I'd have to speak at the end and clarify. this is also especially attractive because it is at the University of Alaska. All of the, the cost is taken within the state. Any money that's expended by the state remains here within the state. And we support on that basis as well, with support to our local university. Just a couple comments, perhaps more to expand on how this program is running now, and with Russ and Carrie here to provide background on this. As I've been enlightened on this while I've been sitting right here before the meeting, right now we can take up to 15 students, new students a year. They're selected by the Board of Regents based upon those who apply for the assistance, and they are basically given a free ride in terms of tuition, room and board, and that's pretty much it. But they are at a value that's been projected to be of about $3,400 a year. So in practice now we have a program. Up to 15 spots are available, and the statute says that it is preferably four teachers. Yet the school districts don't know about this. They aren't recruiting people to fill those positions, to my knowledge. And something has to be done there as well. And I think once people are aware, the districts are aware of what is available here, I think there is a need for substantially more scholarships like these. And my number closer to the figure projected here. That's all I have.
I'm confused because I thought that there was a $500 stipend.
That was the original information that I received.
And now you're saying that you're full ride.
That's been clarified to me by Mr. Roseberg and Mr. Jones.
Okay, then there was Mr. Jones can comment on this, but in the memorandum you received from George West, maybe we spoke to this and I didn't hear that. He says, would it not be preferable to simply award a student $4,500 a year with guaranteed placement in housing at a campus and let the student pay for all expenses from that amount? I'm not sure whether you meant that the student would get $4,500 in housing, or whether the get $4,500 and pay for the housing out of that $4,500.
Housing up there.
$560.
Correct.
And so the meal ticket is $1,500. So the $4,500 would cover
all the items you guys listed up there.
And why would we want to? Is there some reason why it would be better to amend SB 426 to say that students are awarded a $4,500 scholarship, period, as opposed to the full cost of tuition fees for the board, expenses and voucher to get up there? What would be the reason? Just simplicity, administrative simplicity.
For the university, $4,500. That would be $4,500 per student revenue for the university. Or not quite $4,500, not the plane trip, but they would be paid the tuition and so forth. Right now, they're eating those costs, as I understand it. They are not funded for these scholarships. They are just incurring the eating expense. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman? Yes, the 15 students. Of course, this is expected to be expanded by 35 more students. But the $4,500 given to the student would pay for his tuition and all the fees and so forth he would be expected to incur during the year, the state year. It would simplify bookkeeping, that's true. sections are simply obsolete and should be removed. Dower is a common law right of a woman, a widow, to the life estate in one third of the real property owned by the by her husband during the marriage. In any event, that does not any longer exist in Alaska. Does not exist in a lot of other states anymore either. Those sections would be deleted by itself. The substantive part of this bill calls for deleting subsections of AS 3415.010. They're quoted in the journal supplement, which may be in your materials, journal supplement number 21. I also have copies of the sections if the members would like to have. One of the problems with those subsections is that they are internally inconsistent. Another problem is that the cloud is cast over real property when the marital status of the person who executes a deed of conveyance does not show the marital status of that person, either as a single person or if the person is married. Husband and wife cannot join their deed. Subsection D provides presumed remedies for the one during the 1 year period. One remedy is to file a suit to set aside the conveyance. The other remedy is to file notice in the recorder's office of the interest that the spouse has in the property. Since both Dower and courtesy, which is right, similar to that, since neither of those exist in Alaska any longer, there simply is no basis for using those two remedies, and no one that we could find knew that or had ever seen them used, or had ever seen an effort. Attempt to use those two remedies. Nevertheless, there was a cloud cast on the title for a 1 year period after a sale, and our title companies will require that a person go back and get both signatures, husband and wife, on a deed. If there's any chance that that property could have been used at any time as a family home. There is a certain interest that may be protected by the title company requiring a person to go back and get it. Husband and wife to join in a deed.
Let's take this one at a time.
Yes.
The first section that you repeat is subsection A1 of section 09-4548. This has to do with sales of property, I guess, pursuant to a judgment, right?
Yes.
And that law says that the portion of the proceeds of sale shall be determined as follows. If an estate in dower is included in the order of sale, which is an official order, its proportion shall be one third of the proceeds of the sale of the property, or of the sale of the undivided share in the property on which the claim of dower existed. And your point is, as to that, that we don't have an estate in dower, either by common law or statute.
That's correct.
So this subsection is an anomaly.
That's correct.
Then 945.720. that she signed, the deed is given, does not operate to create an interest in her that I did not create.
That's right. It doesn't create any new interest.
And then the next section, after saying that there must be a conveyance signed by both parties, the next subsection says that the failure of the spouse to join the deed does not affect the validity of the deed unless the spouse appears entitled. So, in the first case, A and B, the spouse does appear in the title, the failure to join creates a problem with conveyance. But in the second case, to Paul Fisher, the failure, Mrs. Fisher's son did not invalidate the deed, but there are periods in which she can come in and protest or sue or give notice of her interest in the property and protect whatever rights she's claiming, which is strange in a way because we don't really have.
it's common.
We're saying that's